It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. Gerard Mayo spoke earlier today about Drake May. Sounds like he's progressing forward in concussion protocol. There's a chance he's getting cleared before Sunday's game against Tennessee. We've been talking about it here today. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number to get in touch. We're going to talk to DeMarcus Covington, Patriots defensive coordinator. We're going to talk to Dietrich Wise, both of them later on, hopefully this hour. So stay tuned for it on a Patriots Friday. Meanwhile, since Gerard Mayo spoke this morning, Keith, Drake May was first in reps for the QBs during Friday's media access portion of practice. I said this yesterday.
I mean,
I'll reiterate.
A pretty great sign, isn't it?
It is. I'll just reiterate. If this were Belichick, I'd be a little leery of the Patriots playing games while the media is out there. Because for those who don't know, and it's worth reminding listeners periodically, the media is not there for the full practice. This is not training camp.
Yeah, so you can do some dog and pony show, and then people are writing about, oh, like they had so-and-so lining up for punts.
And not only that, it's majority of it is stretching. Most of what you're seeing is stretching. So like how many when you say he's first in line for repetitions at quarterback, how many reps are you watching? Not many. You're mostly watching stretching. Okay, it's 15 minutes. You're out there. You don't see much. And it can be orchestrated for show however you want it to. With Bill, I was always very leery of what he showed us and why he showed it to us.
You don't think Mayo was a big shell game?
I mean, I don't think so. I don't know, but I don't have the same feeling with him. My guess is if May's first up in quarterback reps, that's because he's first up as quarterback for Sunday if he gets cleared.
I also think if he was straight up out on Wednesday from practice and then maybe limited yesterday and then limited again today, you'd be like, well, he missed one. Like, how much? He's never missed a practice. Right, that's another way to look at it, right? Like he was limited with a number of other players.
Wednesday, he was very much limited, but he didn't miss the practice.
But on the field, threw for a half hour. That's why Brissett had that hilarious joke about, like, well, I guess my practice just starts a half hour later kind of thing. But also, if you read between the lines there with Brissett, I know he was just trying to do like a little joke because he's a little prickly right now, which he should be. If he's like, hey, I go in there like after Drake May, what does that tell you? Like if Drake May is still planning to start. If they knew Drake May wasn't starting, don't you kind of like really ease off the gas pedal this week? Be like, all you have to do is get your head right, and you're going to come back for the Bears. But if they think he's going to play, then all right, you're going to get as many first-team reps as you are allowed to get, and you're going to practice as much as you can, and then by Sunday, you're going to be there. So, yeah, when we were talking about this on Monday or Tuesday, we're like, well, you know, can a guy come back from a concussion in a week? Yeah, they can. But that's kind of, you know, clearing all the protocols pretty quickly.
They usually don't, and quarterbacks rarely do. That doesn't mean they never do, but quarterbacks rarely do. And the traditional player, it more often than not, you miss the following week. I think the average that Schefter said to WEEI Afternoons is 8 days. It's typically 8 days.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's right there. I mean, just it'll be a little bit quicker than that, I guess. But so I'm pretty hopeful now. Like, I'm certainly not going to bet all my money on it. It's a weird thing. It's the protocol and all that stuff. But I'd say he's playing.
Are you worried at all about lack of reps? Like he's been out at practice, but he couldn't practice fully on Wednesday. He hasn't practiced fully yet this week. And he's limited by the protocol. Like, you can only do what the protocol allows for. Maybe he's somewhere in between phase four and phase five. Yesterday, it sounded like he was in phase four. I don't know if today means he's taken a step forward or not. But you got to get cleared independently to get out of the concussion protocol. Are you worried at all about lack of reps or missed time or anything like that in this game?
I mean, it's not ideal, but I'm not super worried about it because I feel like at least he's
Had... Are you worried about it to the point where you have reservations about playing?
No, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's not perfect. Nothing is. But if for the first 5 weeks of the year he was getting 30% of the reps, which we've talked about a lot and how that's more than any other backup would get, and then after that moment it was probably damn near close to 100% of the reps for 3 weeks, all right, he's got a little bit of a foundation, right? He's got a few starts under his belt already, so I feel a little bit better rather than this if this was earlier. Like, say he'd only had mop-up duty to this point, and then this was going to be the first start, like, you'd probably delay it. But he's already played a few games, and so I'd put him out there.
Is there anything they should do different with him this week or going forward now that he has? Text line, this individual keeps texting it. I did see this earlier in the show, 37937. Guys, he never had a concussion.
Well, I think if you're in the protocol, that means the first step of being in the protocol is being diagnosed with a concussion.
He played through it for a time. They flagged him, meaning the league, the independent spotter flagged him. Mayo's confirmed that a couple of different times this week.
Yes, why did he come out of the game then?
Right, they didn't finish the game. So, like, he has a concussion. I don't know how many documented he had at UNC, but it's his first one here that we know of anyway. So
he didn't really miss time at UNC. So, I mean, it doesn't mean he didn't have a bunch of them. Right. Like, you just never know.
No,
just,
right. We've come to learn that with football. I don't know how many he suffered, but this is the first documented one that I know of. So should they handle him any differently this week or long term?
I hope not. You know, again, because I don't look at this concussion that he got as a reckless one, like him trying to pick up an extra yard and lowering his head into a linebacker. Like, that wasn't the case. He was trying to slide, didn't see the guy. Injuries happen. It's football. And it looks like this injury might not cost him any games. I mean, it cost him time in a game, but there's a chance it doesn't cost him any starts going forward. So I would want to keep him playing the same way that he was. He's still a look to pass first, then run. You know, play breaks down, then run. He's not, you know, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray.
I haven't felt like a little bit in his first start. The Houston game, he felt a little uncomfortable in the pocket and a little rushed and maybe looking to run before it felt like he was eyes up downfield going through progressions. I think his last couple of starts, and I know he ran a ton last week against the Jets, I agree with you on that. I think largely he is scanning the field, eyes up, looking to throw, and when it's not there, you have an advantage. Like, the defense is back. You have a running lane. You're athletic, so go take it. I wouldn't treat him differently at all. He's not Tua. You know, he's not someone with a long history of concussions. He didn't react like Tua did on the field, fencer's position, where it looked awful in real time. We didn't even know it was we saw a blow to the head. We didn't even know it was a concussion in real time. I'm not questioning that it was, but I'm just saying he played through it. So I wouldn't handle him any differently. I am worried they will. I'm worried that they will rein him in this week or longer term and say, because both now, Mayo and Alex Van Pelt have made a point to say, we have to continue to reiterate him protecting himself. And
I hope that's just like coach speak because the player's hurt. He's in the protocol. So
maybe
you
want
to sound that way.
Maybe
I don't know.
It is that. And I guess I'd be fine with that if that's all it is. I'm worried they are going to rein him in. I mean, they already are not designing any runs.
I was going to say, you can't take that away. Like, what he ran last week was sort of outside of the original design play call.
So I want them to get to a point where they're designing runs for him. I'm not asking for that this week. I was asking for it before the concussion. Coming out of concussion protocol, you don't need to design anything where he's smashing his head into somebody else. You don't need to design that.
I think that'd be better if you have a more well-rounded offense, then I think you sprinkle that in.
Yeah.
Right, like if you have receivers that actually get attention, and if you have like a running back that's somewhat consistent, then you throw that at him. Like right now, if that's one of your main things, like no, I don't want that either.
That should be in his repertoire.
Sure.
Though. And I hope they have that going forward. I'm not asking for that this week, but if there's a play to go scramble and get a first down, he better do it. And they better not be telling him to, you know, just get into the fetal position, Jacoby Brissett style back there, where you just go down like a sack of potatoes.
Brandon Lloyd, catch the ball, fall down.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. Man was never tackled.
No yak.
Either went out of bounds or just, went right
yards
down.
Yards after catch, zero.
He did have one great year here, though. Great's an
Lloyd?
Exaggeration, but very.
Yeah, no, Lloyd had a great year before he got here,
that's
too.
That's true.
He had a couple good years, but when he came here, it was insane because every time he'd catch it, he'd just fall down. And then a safety would just, like, touch him, like, you're down? Like, you don't want to try another yard?
What was he in? Was he in the dynasty?
Yes.
Yeah,
he was talking about Aaron Hernandez.
That's what it was.
Yeah. B. Lloyd.
Yeah, and he's like, I didn't mess with that guy.
Yes. Yeah, that was pretty much his contribution to the dynasty.
I mean, that was not I didn't particularly enjoy that episode, but that was interesting commentary.
I would rather hear from the players than like the
than Jonathan Kraft
talking about, yes.
Jonathan saying Bill got Aaron Hernandez Hernandez was murdering people
on Bill's behalf. Should have traded him.
I didn't
his trade request.
No, yeah, okay. So Lloyd was spectacular in that.
Yeah.
911 yards, 4 touchdowns. Maybe speaks to the yak a little bit.
Yeah, you're going too high there.
74 for 9/11 that year.
9/11? No, I mean. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Brandon LaFell maybe had a better year. Didn't Brandon LaFell have one good year here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was but Lloyd 2014.
Lloyd led the league in like receiving yards 1 year. Do you have all the stats
up? Yeah, I just looked at it. He had 1,448 yards for
what the hell?
Denver in 2010.
No, but he would fall down. Like, he would just get the ball and fall down. And you're like, I guess you're going to avoid getting hit that way.
Brandon, he did have an SI cover where he was making a diving catch when he was on the Patriots. He was smiling like at the camera.
Yeah, he was like horizontal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's just good awareness. Like, if you know where the camera is, you can look into it, give him a smile.
While you're making a catch.
Yeah. Tell you what, Brandon LaFell, 2014, a little better.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
74, 953, 7 touchdowns.
And then couldn't catch a cold the next year.
And a Super Bowl. Yeah, no, wasn't.
He dropped every pass the following year.
Wasn't very good after that. No, that's true. Yeah. Did have a good year in Cincinnati.
Sure.
So anyway, when it comes to this offense, and we'll get to the receivers for the Patriots coming up, they could use a Brandon LaFell or a Brandon Lloyd.
Yes. Yeah, but the...
Any Brandons, as it turns out, they could use those
Brandon
guys.
Marshall.
Another good one.
Really good one.
Great in Denver.
They have Brandon
Merriweather. Wait for the keys.
Easy,
wait
for Nick. Giving away all the keys now?
Seriously.
Good Lord.
It's not for another hour. I wouldn't handle Drake May any differently, and I hope they don't. If he gets cleared, I have no qualms. I have no qualms about playing him normally this weekend. It's not up to you. It's up to the league. If he's cleared, you should treat him like he's ready to go, and I want him out there, and I want him playing in this game, because I kind of think the Patriots need this game. Not to make the playoffs, not to win a Super Bowl,
you're
nothing
going
like that.
Must win on it.
I'm going must win for like Mayo's job security, which we're going to get to.
Mayo's
guarantee of making progress from last year, getting buy-in on this team for Mayo, getting buy-in around Drake May. Like, in that way, they need the game. Yeah,
I think the biggest part of this game is how legitimate is the bounce back win last week. Mayo calls you soft publicly. Everyone's all over that. You come out, you beat the Jets at home. Now what? Like, is that a one-off? Hey, we beat them, and it was really more because how of a mess they were.
Yeah.
Or but do you beat them?
And doesn't it matter who's playing quarterback. Like, if it's Brissett, I don't really care, I guess, at the end of the day.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Like Mayo should care, and like it matters for him. But if it's Brissett, I don't really care about the one-off nature.
See,
if it's May, I want to see it keep rolling.
Yeah,
you don't care about that?
No, I mean, part of the sting last week, even in the win, was like it wasn't Drake May experiencing a close fourth quarter and all that stuff, because it's all part of the learning process. But no, as far as like the soft comments and things like that, I think he was speaking probably a little bit more towards the defense, and those guys are going to be like, if the defense has a bad game against Mason Rudolph or Will Levis, that's like having the worst game ever. Like, that is like that is such a low bar, one of the worst offenses in the league. And so whether it's Brissett or Mayo on the other side, the defense needs to have a good game. Otherwise, like, all right, now what the hell is Mayo doing? You don't have a good defense against it. These are the kinds of teams that even Bill Belichick defenses would clean up on.
Yeah.
And it would kind of like skew the stats at the end of the year because they would dominate bad quarterbacks. And then even if they had a bad game against a good quarterback, at the end of the year you add it all up and it's like, well, you played Sam Ehlinger and you made him look ridiculous, or you played Zach Wilson or you played all these other bad quarterbacks. That's what Tennessee has.
So I do think there's a clear way for the Patriots to win the game this weekend, and you can jump in with all your Drake May thoughts. Sounds like he's going to play. Reading the tea leaves, and that surprises
me. I like it.
Based on where we were at earlier in the week, I didn't think he would play. I didn't expect him to play. I'm now expecting him to play on Sunday, and I would have no problem with him being out there assuming he clears. But I do think there's a clear way for the Patriots to win this game this weekend, Keith. And this week's Verizon matchup, to me, features Tony Pollard on the other side.
Mm.
They were better limiting the run last week. Better. Not great. They weren't all of a sudden a team that was winning one for Mayo or proving to Mayo they're not soft anymore. They still got run on. They couldn't really run, although they did punch in a short touchdown on fourth down to win the game. They gave up a go-ahead score in that game where the Jets march right down the field. You limit Tony Pollard, I think you win this game. And if you continue to make strides with your run defense, I think you win this game, regardless of who the quarterback is. Pollard's not Derrick Henry. You know, he's not even Breece Hall from last week. He's not a spectacular back, but he's been productive. That's what Tennessee wants to do. Their quarterbacks are horrendous, whether it's Rudolph or, even worse, Will Levis out there. Mm-hmm. Their quarterbacks are horrendous. If you take away the run, I don't think they can throw on anyone, never mind the Patriots. And so, to me, I think it's as simple as that. You limit Tony Pollard, you limit the running game, you win regardless of who's a quarterback.
I hope it's Drake May. And oddly enough, now part of this might be because the Titans get destroyed every week, and so the teams just run the ball more because they're already up. But they give up the fewest passing yards per game in the NFL. The Titans do. So
it probably is that. It's mostly that. Like Detroit's a great example from last week. They're up huge. They just run. They don't even bother throwing.
Yeah, part of
Goff threw for like 85
correct.
Yards.
Correct. So that might skew it a little bit. But I mean, seven games played, they're averaging 151 yards passing. Now, compared to some of the rest of the league, like, that's pretty interesting. But now they have some injuries too. You look at their guys, they had a bunch of guys missing practice or at the very least were limited this week. But I just, every game that Drake May plays, and fingers crossed that he plays, what receivers does he go to? What receivers does he get any kind of trust with? Like, do those guys squeeze the ball this week, or is it just more of the same? Like, do we feel better about any of the receivers on Monday than we do today? Because right now, really don't feel great about any of them. I thought after the Houston game, that was as confident as I've ever felt about Pop Douglas.
Yeah.
Since then, like, okay. Jalen Polk's probably going to be back this week. Zero confidence in him.
No.
Baker,
well,
zero confidence.
Well, hang on. Billy's got some confidence in Jalen Polk.
No, me. I'm speaking for me.
No,
I
just wanted to hear Billy's thoughts on that. Billy, he's got no confidence in your guy this week.
That's his problem.
That's right.
When I make this individual bet and I'm swimming in PS5s.
that's a fair point.
That's a good point.
So you got you there. Baker, Booty. Like, Booty, maybe, like, a catch or two. Like, he somewhat redeemed himself at the end of last week. But that's what I would look to in this Titans team. They've been hard to throw on. Again, might be a little bit of a skewed stat. But what does Drake May look like? And does he develop anything with any of these guys? Because he kept throwing to Polk 2 weeks ago, and it was drops or just whatever. I wonder if he starts to maybe prioritize guys, be like, all right, who can I really trust going forward?
So that's this week's Verizon matchup. It's brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Patriots. Those are some matchups we're focused on. I didn't realize this. Textline just pointed it out, and I double-checked it. 37937. Pollard hasn't practiced this week. I thought he came back to practice yesterday with Ridley, but I'm wrong about that.
He was out.
They gave every veteran on their team basically the day off on Wednesday. I thought he came back to practice yesterday, but the text line is right. So let's see. I haven't seen an update on the Tennessee practice report yet. We'll see if Pollard's out there. If you're not even getting Tony Pollard in this game, and it's Tyjae Spears, or as the text line says, Julius Chestnut, to the moon.
Julius Chestnut. They are running behind Lloyd Cushenberry III, though, so they should be able to move it a little bit, but
Spears has a hamstring injury and he's limited.
That guy will move the line. Yeah, no Tyjae Spears either. And so, I feel much better about my matchup if that's the case. I had not realized that. I thought he came back to practice yesterday.
Yeah, a bunch of guys were, they had a lot of guys out.
617-779-7937. It's Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe. Even though both Nick and myself at various points have attempted to spoil Keefe's keys at different points in the show, we will give you all of the keys at 1 o'clock sharp. Of course, we have the grab bag coming your way in the 1 o'clock hour as well, so stay tuned for that. Still scheduled to be joined by DeMarcus Covington as well as Dietrich Wise on a Patriots Friday. And let's get into, Jerod Mayo, his job security, and why at least one outlet thinks he's on a very hot seat, similar to Jim Montgomery. That's right after Trending with Billy Laney.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.